I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. In our international briefing today, we'll bring you up to date on the trial of Charles Taylor, the former president of Liberia. He is the first African head of state to be tried on war crimes charges, and he stands accused of promoting an array of horrific human rights abuses by rebels under his control in neighboring Sierra Leone during the civil war there. We'll find out what he is saying in his defense. But first to Honduras and the latest in the political crisis there. 2 weeks ago, Honduran President Manuel Zelaya was arrested by the military he commanded as he lay in bed in his pajamas. The story already has more twists and turns than a soap opera. Zelaya, a former conservative, had become a close ally of leftist Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. The Obama administration has called for Zelaya's return to office, but Zelaya's ambassador in the U.S. switched sides after the coup and supports the coup plotters. Zelaya's plane was repelled by the military in his attempt to return to Honduras, and large demonstrations for Zelaya and against him are being held almost daily. To try to make sense of it all and tell us why it matters, we've called on Moises Naim. He's the editor-in-chief of Foreign Policy Magazine, and thank you so much for joining us again. Welcome back.
Hi, Michelle. Nice to be back.
Well, thanks. You know, it's my understanding that the coup plotters, or the leaders of the interim government, don't consider what they did a coup. So what sparked this to begin with, and how do they defend their actions?
Right. We are facing here a clash of coups. We have a 20th-century kind coup, a military coup, with a 21st-century coup. The 21st century is more subtle, is stealthy, is uses appearances of democracy to undermine democracy. President Zelaya was trying to get reelected and reinstated through a constitutional change. And we have seen that happen in several other countries. It's very easy in these countries that are very poor, deeply divided, to create conditions, then promise things to a constitutional change, which in fact only generates the opportunity for the incumbent president to stay in power.
So he wanted to change the constitution to allow himself to prolong his term, which was ending this November. Well, the elections are supposed to be this November. So then what happened?
Well, then the Supreme Court, the Congress, the Ombudsman, and almost all of the institutions in the country said that what he was trying to do was illegal and non-constitutional. In fact, the Honduran Constitution has a clause that says that any attempt by a president to do anything aimed at prolonging his term ensures an automatic, he finishes his term in office. But Zelaya said that was, he continued with it, and then is when the military put him on a plane and took him out of the country.
Now, in the international community, the Obama administration is supporting Zelaya, or at least they're saying he must be returned to office for now. The OAS is supporting Zelaya. Is anybody supporting the interim government?
Well, half of the Honduran people or more, and there are some mixed feelings now. Of course, everyone starts by stating that a military coup is unacceptable, that Zelaya has to be reinstated, that he is the constitutionally elected president of Honduras, and he should finish his term. The problem is that the institutions of the country argue that he had breached the constitution and therefore he no longer could continue as president. This will have to be solved through political means and not through, lawyers are not going to solve this.
Lawyers are not going to solve this. So as I understand it, the president of Costa Rica is trying to broker a negotiation between the parties. Does he seem to be getting anywhere?
No, Oscar Arias, the Nobel Prize winner, current president of Costa Rica, was asked to mediate between the two parties, but that is not happening. And in fact, all of the groups around the Zelaya would much prefer to have this being dealt at the Organization of American States, where they feel that they will have a higher chance of shaping the outcomes.
It sounds like a very combustible situation, though from what you describe. I just want to ask, just in the couple of minutes that we have left, first, what's the U.S. role in all this? Is there one? And secondly, how do you think this is going to be resolved?
Yeah, the U.S. role is very important. The U.S. is a very important donor in Honduras. It also has a military base. It has long historic ties. And it's playing a very important role. The United States and the Obama administration and Secretary Clinton have stated that it is unacceptable, that the coup is unacceptable, that Zelaya has to be reinstated, and that negotiations have to ensure that this happens peacefully. President Zelaya, however, has issued an ultimatum and said that unless something happens quickly, he will take next steps. And next steps mean, you know, he has the strong support of President Chavez and all sorts of militias and military forces are going to help him trying to get back into the country. So there is a potential for violence and bloodshed in coming days and weeks.
Do his recent comments, we only have about a minute left, but his recent comments are from Guatemala, where he had a press conference recently. He was joined by Alvaro Colom, suggesting that Hondurans are within their rights to go on strike or rise up against the interim government. What does that mean, and how is the international community responding to the way he's addressing the crisis?
Well, it is more of the same. He essentially is saying that Hondurans can raise in arms against a government that is illegitimate, that is a de facto government. And on the other hand, as I said before, the church, the media, the professional classes, Congress, the Supreme Court, and a great number of Hondurans are supporting this de facto government. And Zelaya is supported by a lot of outside forces. So it's going, as I said before, it's going to be a very, very difficult, painful situation there.
Moises Naim is the editor-in-chief of Foreign Policy magazine. He was kind enough to join us from his home office outside of the Washington, D.C. area. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle.